The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, guys, before we start today's show, you know, here at Part of the Problem, we want you to have amazing sex. We'd like you to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required. Just better sex, guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. It's easy to use, it'll help you last longer, and it'll give you more confidence. See what the buzz is all about for yourself. Grab a bottle along with all of your sexual wellness products, from specifically formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. Go to promescent.com, no promo code needed, as they're offering free shipping with a 60-day money-back guarantee. One more time, that's promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. Go check them out today at promescent.com. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am very pleased to have returning to the show Karen Ann Harlos, who has been the secretary of the LNC. We're going to get into some details about what's happening with her. It's a tale of LP corruption and underhandedness. And I was very glad that you were willing to come on the show today. I'll just preface this conversation by saying I really try on this show to stay away from internal Libertarian Party issues. I think that the role of libertarians is to take on the crises that face the nation. And that's what I do with my show at almost every single episode. It's all about this murder-suicide mission that the United States of America is on and what's happening to people in this country. But this was something that just I just felt like I had to let my audience know what was going on, and also because it's so wrong what they did to you. So let's start with this. This goes back to what happened in New Hampshire.
It goes back a little bit before that too, as you know, with me about the COVID stuff, because they were already very ass mad about me constantly calling out their inaction on COVID. So they were already very upset with me because they believed in circle the wagons. You say we're incompetent behind closed doors, but you can't say it outside. And because because all of my COVID comments were part of the crimes that they alleged I committed.
Right. And there is this mentality within a lot that a lot of people in the Libertarian Party, especially up at the kind of at the LNC level, have, that it's like, look, it's kind of party first, and you protect the party and you do what's right for this party. And I remember this was one of the key issues that I had when I debated the former chair, Nick Sarwalk, at the Soho Forum. And I started off by saying, because he had been quoted saying that to him, the party was paramount. And so I just started off by saying, hey, I don't care about the party. I care about liberty.
And if the party is an effective vehicle to achieving liberty, well, then great. But if it's not, then I have no party loyalty. And if I just wanted to have party loyalty, then I'd be a Democrat or a Republican. They're a party that wins a lot more. Why wouldn't I, you know, if you were just in that game? So we talked about this a little bit the last time that you were on my show. You were really the lone voice. Oh, I suppose not you. Joshua Smith was really good on lockdowns and stuff. But you were really upset at the party for not having any message on lockdowns, exactly. Which really makes, I mean, how could you be living through a moment where the government just goes totalitarian and you're the Libertarian Party? And it's not like, hey, I mean, if nothing else, forget the morals of it, which are the biggest issue, but just practically, like, this is your opening. This is your opening to stand up for liberty. And so I know you ruffled a lot of feathers with all of that stuff.
And here's what's funny. They finally have come out, and you're going to remember this from when I was on the show. They finally already came. They just came out with a messaging plan. It was my messaging plan that I gave to them. The secretary that they just removed, you'll remember, I mentioned it on your show, already against the next mandate campaign. Mm-hmm. I gave them all those assets. They finally adopted it. The LNC rejected it back in January, not formally, but they heard about it and had no interest. So I went around the LNC to the communications director, gave it to her. She liked it. But funny, everyone's going to start saying now, what's she talking about? They do have a messaging plan. Yeah, it was the one I gave them.
Right, right. And it's to me, I think it's very revealing of where people's, you know, priorities are. And where, like, you know, I hate to say it because it becomes the lamest thing, but like how much of a libertarian you really are when there are these people who, some of whom openly support vaccine mandates, some mm-hmm. of whom privately support vaccine mandates, but are certainly willing. I mean, there'd be no issue with having libertarians from, say, the Cato Institute or you know, other kind of like beltway types who will justify lockdowns, will justify vaccine mandates, vaccine passports, all of these things. They have no problem promoting these type of people. But, you know, if you maybe have, I don't know, the wrong, you know, let's say decorum on social media or something like that, then that is like a bridge too far. And it's like, well, where are your priorities really if you're not interested in that battle?
Someone wrote the LNC and I said to him, you win the internet. It was just one sentence. And he said, if only you hated the state as much as you hate your secretary.
Yeah.
And well, I was well. Like, whoa.
Well, there you go. Well, it's funny because I've gotten accused small groups of people in the Libertarian Party of, and the Mises Caucus gets accused of this a lot, that we hate the left more than we love liberty, which I've always said, like, I don't know. I mean, look at any member of the Mises Caucus. I don't think it applies to anyone that I know, mm-hmm. and I know pretty much everybody. Yet, if you flip that around and say, do you hate the right more than you love liberty? Ooh, that applies to a lot of those people.
It does.
They will discount anything. Like, I'll go on like some of the biggest shows in the country and just preach like a message that they would completely agree with, like just all the hardcore, you know, like anti-war, anti-fed, anti-police state stuff that they'd love. But the fact that I've interviewed and been kind to a right winger in the past is enough that they can't give me any credit for that. So doesn't that really apply to you a lot more, that you hate the right more than you love liberty? If someone is advancing liberty, but they don't hate the right sufficiently, that's a problem. So there's just a lot of these things that, like, it's like, yeah, it's you can hate the right wing, by the way. You can hate the left wing. I mean, I don't care.
But, I hate them both.
Yeah, really. I mean, there's lots to hate. And there's also some things to love about both of them. You
are
know
there?
What I mean? Well, listen, I mean, there are some really good left wingers who I have a tremendous amount of admiration
people.
For. Yes, that's kind of
more. The people.
Yes.
The politics, I hate them both and see nothing redeeming in either of them. But people are more than bundles of politics.
Sure. But also, even within their politics, I mean, like, look, somebody like Glenn Greenwald did heroic journalism exposing the NSA, spying, surveillance state. Someone like Chelsea Manning, who has been going at Glenn Greenwald in a silly way, but Chelsea Manning or, you know, Julian Assange or somebody like that has done tremendous work that is somewhat political. And then, of course, there are people on the right wing who, you know, like whatever disagreements we may have with someone like Pat Buchanan, you know, to be a cold warrior who then turned around and opposed the whole, you know, war on terror.
Yes.
Like that's anyway, so that's just my,
I guess, you know, you have a fair point. I guess I'm meaning the two parties, yes, rather than the two political philosophies.
So if we get into the two parties, now that list shrinks a lot. Now
yeah.
You got like, I don't know. I liked Dennis Kucinich. Tulsi Gabbard had some good moments. Yeah.
No, Ron Tulsi. Come on. Everyone stands Tulsi. I know she has her problems, but she's the bomb.
Well,
she probably wouldn't want me to use that phrase.
Ironically, yes.
Yeah, well, ironically.
Look, if nothing else, I mean, and she gets a lot of things wrong, but yeah, look, she ran a campaign that was first and foremost an anti-war campaign, and so you got to give her some credit for that. So anyway, so this stuff is in the background for sure. And then there was the incident in New Hampshire, which I did discuss on my show a few different times. I'll just kind of sum it up because we can move through this part quickly. What
yes.
I haven't talked about is the investigation report, which is the next thing I want to. But I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but more or less what happened in New Hampshire was there was a plot to steal the state party affiliate from mm-hmm. the people who had been duly elected. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it.
No, that's exactly it.
The Mises caucus really dominated in New Hampshire and basically took a clean sweep except for the chair position, which they didn't challenge. I would say in hindsight, not the best move, but that's what they
Agreed.
Did. And at the time it wasn't, there has been an investigation into this now that concluded that, you know, there was collusion between the national chair and the state chair to just steal the party, steal assets, steal data, mm-hmm. Unilaterally rewrite bylaws and declare this new organization to be the true Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. This immediately drew tremendous backlash. And not just from the Mises caucus, but from, you know, decent people all throughout the party, yourself being probably the most notable member and member of the LNC as well.
And at the time, I had no idea. I have to tell you, my prejudice at the time was that, and listen, this will tell you how my prejudice at the time, because I knew about the saucy tweets and the individual that some people had some problems with. My prejudice at the time was that the Mises guys did something atrocious, and that perhaps what happened was justified.
Right.
When Gilletta Jarvis was a friend of mine, my prejudices going into this were on the side of Gilletta Jarvis.
Right. And that if that was the situation, and I remember listening to your show while mm-hmm. this was going on, and I it was very clear that you were thinking, well, look, you could see how this is going to be painted
yeah.
by the Mises caucus. And if that is your friend there and someone really did something that was so heinous that it justified something like this, well, then you'd want that truth to come out so that it
Either
wasn't,
way.
It didn't
yeah.
look like your friend was doing something really corrupt.
Right.
Right. So what you did was you on your own just started interviewing people, correct?
Yes, but in the background, so we have this secret list on the LNC, which is completely illegitimate, okay? And they abused the hell out of it. But this was probably, I put this on the secret list. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. Because, well, I was trying to protect witnesses who I didn't know what their involvement was. You put something on the public list, all of a sudden people start attacking maybe people who had nothing to do with anything. So I put on the secret list, hey, I'm going to be doing these interviews. Here's the links. Any LNC member that would like to come and ask questions is invited. And I was savaged. How dare, this is before I even did the interviews.
Right.
You can't do this, whatever. And I'm like, well, I am. You can come in. I mean, of course, I can't see that email list now because they, you know, removed my back. But I remember it. They remember it. And so from the beginning, I was attacked for this and called all kinds of names. Immediately it was about me, but I did the interviews. Yes. But that background, people do not know how utterly savaged I was.
Yeah. Right.
And well, listen, I give permission. Any LNC member, publish that conversation. I started it on the internal list. So it's my privacy. I'm waiving it. Publish it. Let people see what you said.
Well, okay. So now as these interviews, as you started conducting these interviews, and the information started coming out, it became very obvious that this was exactly what it looked like, and that stories were conflicting with each other, and certain the co-conspirators were addressed, although not revealed.
Not yet.
Yeah, right. So it became pretty obvious what this was, and what ended up happening was that it not only drew backlash from the Mises Caucus, like you would have expected me to be out there, you know, upset about this, but actually also Justin Amash and Spike Cohen and yourself and all of these other people who really, I mean, I suppose after the fact, then they always go back and go, well, you're all just Mises Caucus people or something. But are you telling me Justin Amash and Spike just simping for the Mises Caucus? I mean, it just doesn't really make any sense. So it was pretty obvious what happened here was just that they saw naked corruption. And these guys were just like, no, I'm not okay with that, because these are principled guys, even though we may have some disagreements at times. And so this whole thing really kind of imploded. Then shortly after that, Joe Bishop Henchman, who was the chair at the time, he resigned, and he cited the growing bigotry in the party as the reason why he was resigning, which I always thought was just so transparently, you know, phony, that it's like, oh yeah, the bigotry wasn't a big problem a couple weeks ago, but all of a sudden now the bigotry is a big problem and you have to resign.
And I'm the one who runs cover for bigots. See, he didn't call me a bigot, right. But I'm the one who runs cover for the bigots.
Yeah, it's always, I can't express how reprehensible I find it, and it's something that, by the way, this is not always the case, but it is very often the case throughout. And this is one of the things that's such a problem with kind of the woke culture, is that oftentimes accusing others of bigotry and these horrible things is a way to cover up for your own, you know, ethical shortcomings, and you just all of a sudden get to live.
It's projection,
right? But to label other people with these, like, you know. Like, if your position is that bigotry is such an awful thing to be, to just label other people that because you got caught with your pants down is just, I mean, the lack of integrity is pretty unbelievable. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Fume. Fume, of course, you know by now, it's the natural inhaler that makes it easy to get the benefits of superplants on the go. Fume is a Canadian-made wooden inhaler with no electronics, no chemicals added. Its cores are filled only with the benefits of superplants. Fume is a natural and portable tool for allergy relief, relaxation, and it's a great nicotine replacement tool with its pocket fit. I use the Conquer cores, which are like their best-selling cores. Those are the ones that really help you quit vaping or smoking. It's really excellent. It replaces the hand-to-mouth action. It's really satisfying and enjoys. I really enjoy it. It's allowed me to cut down a lot on the vaping, which is great. But like I said, they also have stuff for allergy relief and relaxation and all of that. Go over to breathefume.com/problem and you can see their whole product line, and they'll explain the whole program to you. That's breathefume.com/problem. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM10, you'll get 10% off your order, and you can breathe in the benefits of the world's super plants today. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so basically we've talked about this chapter before on the show, but just catching people up who don't know about it. So since then, what happened is there was an investigation, which I personally did not have high hopes for the investigation.
Me either, because one of the guys on there is somebody who's accused me of all kinds of weird stuff. I thought they were going to try to, like, somehow, like, just fuck with me with it, but they did it. You know, I'll say right off, I was wrong. I thought that report was going to be just a piece of shit, and it actually was good.
Yeah, so why don't you? So why don't you explain what? The important things, at least, that you think of what was revealed in that investigation.
Well, there's some things that people didn't pick up on. But if you look at the executive summary, the top, right? If you just want to know what the report says, just read those two paragraphs. It summarizes it. And then the rest is supporting what they said in the summary. Well, JBH deleted all of his emails on his way out. And that is party property. And he's an attorney and he knows better.
Maybe he knows well enough to do it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The party, now that I'm not there, I don't know. I really hope that Joshua or Rich Bowen or some of the good guys, really, we have 6 months. We can get those emails from Google. but it has to be within 6 months. And already, like John Phillips is just saying, oh, let's just let it lay, because that's mm-hmm. the institutional inertia. I'm not saying Phillips had anything to do with it. He didn't. It's just kind of an institutional laziness. And I bet you they don't get those emails. And if this LNC does not get those emails, they are in absolute dereliction of the duty to the members, because we don't know what it says. Do I believe any other LNC members were directly involved? No, but we don't know that. We don't know who else. Now, I do think many LNC members were involved in slimy retaliation against me after New Hampshire, like Richard Longstreth. And Aaron Adams started screaming at me saying, I said he was involved in New Hampshire. Quote me, Aaron. I never said that. I said he was in collusion with the chair to remove me. That's not the same thing.
Right, right.
So she outright lied about me at this hearing.
Yeah.
So as you know, it was quite dramatic.
Okay.
We'll I brought the fire. I brought the fire. I had the rocket boosters on. I was looking at all of them, like when I was at a city council, and I'm like, how dare you? And how dare you? And how dare you?
Yeah. No, well, that was the glorious part of it. So, just to focus on the investigation again, I thought the other key thing that the investigation determined was that Joe Bishop Henchman was involved in the plan.
Absolutely.
So he was lying.
Knowingly involved.
He was lying. He pretended that this was some routine letter that he had written. It wasn't at all. So not only did the guy lie, this is like how corrupt and how dishonest and how lacking in integrity mm-hmm. Joe Bishop Henchman was. Not only did he lie about it, and completely made this out to be something that it wasn't. And also, by the way, threw Jaletta Jarvis under the bus, because he was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I just wrote this mm-hmm. letter as a routine thing. She went and did all of this on her own, which is not true at all. So your instinct was correct in the beginning of that.
Absolutely.
That you thought she wasn't just planning this out on her own. So not only did he lie, he participated in a conspiracy to defraud members of the party, to steal mm-hmm. Assets and information, sensitive information from, mm-hmm. from members of the party, and to purge duly elected, not only all the members who now had to sign up to this.
Yeah, new pledge, they were all no longer members.
Yes.
People forget with those new bylaws, all of a sudden there were only 12 or 13 members of the LPNH.
Yeah. A massive purge of members, and of duly elected, state representatives, not representatives, whatever, state, you know.
Yeah, the state officials. Board, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The
governing board, yeah.
The governing board, right. So not only that, but then this guy deletes all of his emails on the way out and then writes this letter calling everyone else bigots. So he was...
threatening to sue me and Joshua.
Yes. I mean, just the most despicable behavior you could imagine.
Did you see I used your example where I said to the investigation committee, I didn't use you by name, but you would have recognized the example. I almost used you by name, and then I thought people would just get all triggered.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have helped you.
Yeah, they would have freaked the fuck out. So I said to the investigation committee, how come in your summary of things that point to his guilt, you didn't mention that he never repudiated that letter? Like, it really could happen that somebody uses, but I remember you with Robbie going, if I wrote a letter to Robbie saying, you know, part of the problem, you know, the show of which you are co-host, and then all of a sudden he started saying you gave it to him, you would have been like, whoa, no, like back up that horse right there.
The onus would be on you to correct the record.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Well, and he never did.
Well, now we have our answer.
And notice who the LNC has never officially censored.
Yes. Well, that's right.
He quit. We're going to put it under the bus. Right now, the LNC should have issued a scathing condemnation. And here's the thing with the deletion of his emails. The reason, and he's now claiming he didn't do it, which means he's accusing staff. Like, he's just lying his ass off. And what I think he's worried about, and he should be, is a bar investigation on him, because people don't know, even though he didn't represent us, the American Bar Association investigates, was it acts of moral turpitude by its members, even if it isn't in relation to the practice of law.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what he's worried about.
This is why Bill Clinton was disbarred.
Right.
Not a lot of people know this, but he was disbarred after the whole impeachment thing.
And the ABA should be looking at him. Now, I'm not a snitch. I could write them and ask them, but I just don't do that kind of shit. You know, snitches get stitches and all that. But they should. But yeah, let them find out on their own. Like, sure, I'm not into these licensing things.
Yeah, sure. I also just very hesitant to try to hurt someone personally. Right. In that
I won't.
So I agree with you on that. But
karma.
But for the LNC, for the Libertarian National Committee, to all have this type of outrageous, blatant corruption, not to mention, you know, like legitimate property rights violations, yeah, you know, the center tenet of libertarianism blatantly violated, and to not have the strength, like, even if what you're saying is true, which I'm sure for a lot of them it is, that is not that they're outright corrupt, it's just the inertia and the kind of
They weren't involved in New Hampshire, but you don't have to be involved in New Hampshire to be corrupt.
Well, right, and I'm just saying, like, for you, either way, if you do not have the integrity and the strength to stand up to that, this outrageous corrupt behavior when it's right in front of you, then I am sorry. Like, I think you should get out of the way. Like, you are not, you have proven you will not have the strength to stand up to any type of real corruption. I mean, like, you know, this is one of the things I try to like talk to people in the Libertarian Party about. I remember this is one of the things I was talking about in my debate with, whatever, I'm not even going to bring up his name, but
I know
he's, you know, when he's complaining about like a meme that hurt his feelings, and I'm like, you understand that our mission here is to abolish the CIA, right? Like, what do you think we're going to have to deal with if we ever start to get close to succeeding? Mm-hmm. Like, this is you can't like brush this off. And I feel in the same sense of like, if you can't stand up to this level of corruption, I mean, this is such small potatoes compared to what we're trying to ultimately build a force.
Well, you want to know the joke they're really upset about is, and this was a joke that referenced a joke told by a different LNC member, but they were really mad because respect my authority. So, because I said to them about New Hampshire, go ahead and censor me. I will gold plate it and FAP to it. And that's what they're fucking really upset about. And it was a joke because Erin Adams once said, when she gets hate mail, she masturbates to it.
Right, right.
So they took a joke and took it seriously. Like, you would do that? That's that you, well, you would react to our authority that way? It's just over yourself.
So I've, you know, this is another tactic that is used, and it's kind of a it's often used in kind of woke culture, but it's used by dishonest people in general. And this is a tactic that I've, you know, had used against me quite a bit. That you do this thing where you put one person, everything they've said, under a microscope, and you give them the least charitable interpretation of everything and take sarcastic comments as literal, but you never do that to your own side. So in other words, if there's one, you know, any one, you know, comment in the Mises Caucus Facebook group or something like that, if there's one comment that's nasty or a little hateful or anything like that, this is proof that the Mises Caucus is this awful organization. This is done by people who run Facebook groups where if you looked through their group, there's tons of hateful, just awful things that are said. But of course, that's never a reflection on them, right? They can make all the jokes they want to, but if somebody else makes an obvious joke, well, that we're going to treat as a literal statement.
Well, let me tell you, it's a tactic. You might not know this. Okay, Matthew Buffman, who is the alternate of Region 6, he's a private investigator. He used his private investigation, and I think that this is somewhat unethical. He gathered all that data. He had that folder on me because they asked someone on the LNC to do that. And they had this weird ass folder of all of my worst posts. And all it gave was like, you know, Eminem Stan vibes, you know, like this dude's in a 4x4 room with these pictures of me, you know, gouging my eyes out with a knife. It was so stalkery, creeper feel. Yeah. But that's what they did. This guy's an ex-cop. Listen, I get right now, every single person who voted for that motion, I am calling them corrupt, and I can substantiate it. Now, you don't have to do things in secret to be corrupt. You can be openly corrupt.
Sure.
And they are. JBH was secretly corrupt, but those 11, none of them should ever be in a position to have authority over anyone's life ever again. None of them.
Oh, I completely agree. All right, so I guess we could just get into the meeting that happened yesterday. So I got to say, I mean, look, I'll just, even if I remove myself from my feelings in this particular issue, of course I was, you know, like, support you, and I think that you're one of the best members on the LNC, and it was shameful how they railroaded you. And all my feelings.
It was
about
a railroad job.
Well, that's, you know, for sure.
They bent me over and stuck me with the barbed dildo hard.
Well, look, I mean, they got you, but it was shameful.
Dave.
Yeah. No, I know you are.
And by
that's
the
okay.
way,
we welcome that on this show.
Michael Malice still won't follow me. I am so ass mad. That's all.
Listen,
I would say.
I would ask him to, but he'll probably just block you to spite me. You don't want me to ask. You have to just let it happen organically.
I love his jokes about you. No, they're just funny. He's so adorable. Oh, my God.
He's
okay.
The best. No, I love that guy. He's the best. But so, look, even if I try to almost like approach this from a neutral, unbiased perspective, the first thing that came up to me was just like how embarrassing this whole thing was. Like it was such an embarrassment. And as people who are trying to grow this party and trying to convince people to, you know what I mean, like join the Libertarian Party, it's, you know, it puts us in such a situation where you're like, man, if I, you know, like you just wouldn't want anyone who was on the fence about joining the party to see this, like, because it's so embarrassing that you literally have, I mean, just think about what's going on in the world around us, that like where Australia is right now, which is like, you know, we're only a few steps behind them.
Yeah. And no,
you're
statements.
Sitting here, you're just, and this is what you care about spending your time on. And to watch these other members of the LNC getting all emotional about what was said about them on Twitter.
I know, you called me a fucker. Oh my God.
And even some of them saying that this is a violation of the non-aggression principle.
That was the worst. And listen, I'm on a 30-day ban now on Facebook because I said, Phillips, you cried like a whiny little bitch while you voted for corruption. And now I'm on a 30-day ban from Facebook because I called him a whiny little bitch, and he is.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I just don't – I have – let me say, and this is, I think, just something about being a grown-up, not even being involved in politics, but – I just have no sympathy for any of this stuff.
None.
And this is another tactic that's been used every time I've debated, you know, like members of the woke libertarian crew or whatever. It's always like, oh,
but they were crying.
The harassment. Oh, but people said mean things on Twitter. And I'm like, dude, are we adults having a serious conversation? Listen, let's be honest about this. I think I'm on pretty safe ground in saying there is no figure in the Libertarian Party who is more viciously attacked than me. I mean, I'm literally—
Maybe Tom Woods.
Yeah, but I think I get it more. I think I get it more than Tom. And part of it is because I'm more involved in floating out the idea.
Or because you're friends with Tom Woods.
And, right. Yeah. Something like that. Right. But I mean, maybe there's like a couple close calls, but I'm pretty up there. I mean, every single day I am called the most vicious names. And if I ever got on
here. That protest was delicious.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't the Libertarian Party. But yes, but I'm just saying within the party, I get so much of this, entire pages devoted to me, trashing me, doing all this stuff. If I ever got on here and just started whining about like, oh, it's so hard being me. Oh, it's and if I were to say, here's okay, if I were to say that people saying mean things about me on Twitter is a violation of the non-aggression principle, to all of my listeners, I give you permission to slap the shit out of me. So it's not aggression anymore. You can actually slap me. If I was ever, I mean, it's just like,
me too,
grow up. Like,
they know, but they literally have said now, my mean words, this is the precedent now. This is actually, we can joke and stuff, but for the ideology of the party, actually the highest governing body has now said words, mere words, you know, me saying, you know, like whatever, mere words are violence. And Aaron Adams and John Phillips were the architects of that.
Yeah,
and I know they've done great activism, and people are like all mad at me because I'm calling them out. They have redefined the fundamental principles of this party, and they were not elected to do that. And they can shove that interpretation of the NAP right up their ass.
Yes, and
that is so gross. We should be outraged by that. You know, for people going, I can't believe you're cussing in this. The LNC right now should be, the members should be absolutely outraged, and not for me, because I know I go over the line. I know that I'm not perfect, but the fact that they dared to redefine that, to get rid of somebody that they don't like, is so obscene that members right now should, oh, actually, I got two things. Facebook also said when I said burn the corrupt house down, they said I was inciting a riot. So I'm a terrorist now, I guess. I'm a terrorist now who called John Phillips a whiny little bitch. And yeah, but members,
you're
on
a funny
that,
terrorist.
Yeah, don't take up my cause, which that's fine if you want to. Take up the cause of the NAP, because right now, unless the Judicial Committee overturns my suspension, which they might on due process grounds, which is the grossest thing here.
Yeah.
They just redefine, you know, your NAP pledge, you better not say mean words now, according to the LNC.
Yeah. So, no, that's, you're right. I think that's the, kind
it's
of the most
gross.
Important.
And, how, and, yeah. And I looked at them and you know, I did the hull. How dare, like I had the righteous indignation there, man.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Quip. Of course, you know Quip. They're the makers of the electric toothbrush and floss that you hear about all the time. Well, they've launched a new mouthwash to help you complete your clean. Plus, it comes with a refillable dispenser that's delightful to use and sleek enough to fit on any bathroom counter. I gotta tell you, I love this mouthwash. Mouthwash is a game changer. You might just be brushing and flossing and think you're good, but you're never gonna feel as clean. You're never gonna kill as many of the bad germs unless you use a nice mouthwash. The mouthwash is the perfect finishing touch to a complete oral care routine. Pair it with Quip electric toothbrush for adults and kids and one of their refillable flossers, and you'll be surprised at how easy it can be to keep your whole mouth healthy. Quip also now has a great tasting good for you gum that can help your teeth clean between brushings. Look, Quip is the company. They're going to take care of all of your oral health needs. I use the toothbrush. My wife uses the toothbrush. We use their floss. We use the mouthwash. I chew the gum. It's really easy because you can get everything you need for your mouth in one place. And that place is getquip.com/problem5. Go there right now and you'll get $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. That's $5 off a mouthwash starter kit, which includes the refillable dispenser and a 90-day dose supply of Quip's 4x concentrated formula. That's getquip.com/problem5, getquip.com/problem5. All right, let's get back into the show. I guess we should have mentioned, by the way, that there was a, this was the second attempt. Like there was
third.
A move, or this was the third. There was a move to suspend you right after New Hampshire as Joe Bishop Henchman was deleting mm-hmm. emails, literally, probably yes. as he was deleting yeah. emails with one hand, he was trying to push for you to be suspended with the
yes.
other. And that failed, mm-hmm. and then the other one failed, but this one went through.
It did.
But not without some pretty shady tactical parliamentary moves by them.
Yes.
So do we want to get into that?
Well, we can. They were allowed to do it. Here's my problem, and this bites me in the ass a lot. I knew that Stephen Nikayla, who was the Florida Region 2 representative, was going to be leaving on Sunday, and his alternate wasn't there. So I was told them of my intent to introduce, actually, I wanted to introduce it at the beginning of the meeting, and the chair put me off. Did she do that tactically? I don't know. I have my suspicions because I don't trust any of them. And especially since, remember, in the New Hampshire vote, our current chair of the party said, I don't see any reason to disaffiliate them, but I can't bring myself to vote no. Okay, remember that. Okay, that should be plated in gold.
Yeah.
Or not gold, I don't know, coal. So I said, so I alerted them, my bad, because I don't do Machiavellian games, that Stephen Nikayla wasn't going to be there. So they called up that alternate behind Stephen Nikayla's back and got him there. Because Stephen would have moved heaven and earth to stay if he knew they were going to do that. So they just fundamentally snuck around. Now, it was legal, but it was gross as fuck. They betrayed Stephen Nikayla, who left because his wife is having a baby and he really needed to be there. And they capitalized on that opportunity and snuck in his alternate, who was sitting there with a shit-eating grin on his face, because they knew they didn't have the vote. So they had to sneak in an alternate to get me out. When you have to play dirty tactics like that to win, you are gross and everyone, no one should ever trust you again. So people trying to defend the better people on here, like Aaron and Phillips and even TJ Ferreira, who are people who are generally great activists and people like, they condoned that shady shit. I'm sorry, there's nothing.
They still didn't have the strength to stand up against it, which is
and say that's not right to Stephen. They could have moved to continue this until Stephen could be there, but they knew they didn't have the votes. They had to cheat, even if it was legal. I still consider it cheating. It was Machiavellian to get me out, and they're sitting there all smug about it. They're proud about it. You couldn't beat me legitimately. You couldn't beat me with primaries. Listen, I don't really want any more removals or attempts like that, but that guy, Sexton, is a snake in the grass, and I wouldn't cry if he got removed by his region. That was dirty, dirty pool. And if you're going to play like that, why would anyone want us in government? We're going to play shit like that? And it wasn't just that. If it was just that, I could say maybe those people were just so all up in their feels they didn't realize. But there were so many multiple things that I put forward in my case in which I said, even if you think I'm guilty, there's such unclean hands here. You cannot in good conscience vote for this. Because there's something in law, as you know, called the fruit of the poisonous tree. Like, even if the cops got evidence on someone who's guilty, but they did it wrong, the courts throw that shit out. Because our presumption should be, when you're prosecuting somebody for wrongdoing, you need to be above reproach. And none of them were.
Yeah, that's right. And so even if a cop tampers with one little thing that has nothing to do with the case,
you throw the whole thing is thrown out.
So, you know, one of the things, because there's a couple things that I think are really revealing about all of this behavior. And one is, just as you said, just like the naked corruption and the fact that, you know, it's like, I know power tends to corrupt, as Lord Atkins said, but man, I've never seen such a little bit of power corrupt so much. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. There's no character. If you allow LP power to corrupt you, you're a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah. But the other thing that has been pretty apparent throughout all of this stuff is how little these people really care about the party. And that's what's so interesting when, as I said at the beginning, where the argument is like the starting point is like, well, the party is paramount and you have to be loyal to the party. But there are these moves like what they tried to do in New Hampshire, what they just did by suspending you, where you're like, look, this is objectively, everyone knows, going to like really divide the party. This is going to hurt the cause of the Libertarian Party. And it's pretty obvious that, yeah, they're fine with that. And this is something that I've seen very clearly from the very beginning, since I got into the Libertarian Party, that it's like, no, these people who are, not all of them, but a lot of people who are on the LNC and who have little status positions within the Libertarian Party, they didn't look at, say, like, me and Tom Woods and people like this coming into the party and go, oh, wow, guys with big platforms telling their people to come join the Libertarian Party. Oh, that's exciting. We could grow this thing. They looked at it as a threat right
away. They
did, but,
and it's not that they don't, it's not like that's their consistent position. Because, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have chased this guy because they love him, but boy, did they, like, they were so excited about Justin Amash, like they should have been. But they should have been just as excited about you and Tom Woods.
Well,
but
that's right.
Justin Amash is respectable. Yes.
So, because that's right. That's what it is that they want to go after. They want to go after people who will, you know, help them get, you know, invited to more cocktail parties or something like that.
Justin Amash is signing letters that is going out to our party membership.
Yeah.
You should be doing that too. And so should Tom Woods, because you guys are an asset to this party.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what their personal feels are.
Yeah. And well, I would say conversely, like, I'm thrilled Justin Amash is in the party.
So am I.
I think you'd be crazy not to be, you know, like
it's not putting him down.
Right.
It's not at all.
No, my point is just that it's not as if we're on the other side of the conflict doing the same thing. Like we are actually here saying like, no, listen, the truth is there's almost no debate about it. that there are groups of people who Justin Amash can reach who I can't. And so, of course, I'd be crazy to not want him bringing in those people. And then there's groups of people I can reach who he can't. And so, and he, by the way, Justin Amash has that exact attitude. He's like, oh, yeah, this is great that Dave's here. Like, that brings in a whole different group of people. Like, so why would any of us not want this?
And he calls out shit. So I love him because he'll call out shit. But Dave, I'm going to thrill you right now with something. I'm on the takeover train. I'm done. Take the bitch over. Reno, take the bitch over. Because how dirty I've been when I've tried to stay away from all of that and take the higher road. And all I'm fighting for is that we do what we're supposed to. And I'm a little rough around the edges. They did this to Maj Tor. They couldn't, or Ture, I'm sorry. Ture. I always, Ture. They couldn't handle him because they didn't like his language. But that's the culture he grew up in. So are we only a party for WASPs? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. What because, about the filthy-mouthed Jew comedians? Where do we fit into all this?
I grew up in a lower middle class, very ethnically diverse. My dad sold drugs my whole life and had minor involvements in the mob. Okay, I parked John Gotti's car at my dad's club.
Oh, that's cool.
This is the environment I grew up in. How I talk and address things is because of my environment. But no, I've got to conform myself to be an upper WASP.
Well, this is what it's funny because, you know, Rothbard, who, of course, was a member of the Libertarian Party for years and helped write the original platforms and stuff like that, and was really probably one of the major inspirational figures for the forming of the Libertarian Party, ultimately left the party in disgust. And he wrote about some of these problems that they were having, like in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I think it was in 89 when he left the party. I could be off on the year.
Was it 89? I thought it was 79, 80. Like, I thought it was during the whole Crane.
He left. I think he left, came back because he supported the Ron Paul 88 campaign.
Okay.
But, so I don't know, you know, like, but He left and joined the Republicans, I think, in either the late 80s or the early 90s. But he wrote about this at the time. And it's really funny how much not everything, but so much of the points he made still resonate today. And so to what Rothbard said, it is kind of, you know, Rothbard provocative language.
I know,
but he said, what was this thing? He said, give me the rednecks, forget the yuppies. Like that was his. He said the party was basically broken up into rednecks and yuppies, and I like the rednecks. He's like, I like the regular people who actually believe in liberty and care about it and are actually kind of getting screwed over by the current, statist order.
You'll kind of be shocked at what's going on, and I'm not going to name names or factions or anything like that. But now I'm starting to get messages, and I knew this would be coming. Like when people go, oh, Reno, if they remove you, you're going to go in flying colors. Maybe. But there's this other attitude where now it's like kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, where they're going, how did this one person put it to me? We want you in wartime, but we're going to shelve you in peacetime. Listen, I'm good in peacetime, too, because you need somebody who'll call out the corruption in peacetime. But I'm just getting really feeling very used by some people of this party. They're like, thank you for your service. Now go away because you're embarrassing us. Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I get where you're coming from.
And it's not a lot of people, but I'm starting to see that little contingent. And it's like, I don't use people. Loyalty and trust and people are primary to me. And some of this that I see going on, I'm like, no. For the first 2 years when I was Region 1 representative, things were relatively peaceful. I am just as good in peacetime, but I'm savage in wartime.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'll just put it like this, that the New Hampshire, what happened in New Hampshire, again, as we said, I mean, a blatant, unbelievable, you know, act of corruption, theft, violating of the non-aggression principle, and disenfranchising of a bunch of members, purging a whole bunch of members. That was a real test.
Listen, I lost my position over it. I've lost my position over it. But you want to know what? I'd do it again.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
We were talking about their investigation report. So in the executive summary, it even mentioned that this was done, in their opinion, with an eye to doing it in other states. They worded it a little differently, but that's what, and I'd been saying this all along. I love New Hampshire. I love you guys, but I've told you also in protecting you, I was protecting Colorado by proxy. I've never lied that I ran to be on the LNC knowing power corrupts to keep it from happening and to protect my home state. Because when I saw the way the LNC fucked with Oregon, I'm like, if they did that to Oregon, they could do it to Colorado. I ran on the platform of what I'm doing. I have been removed for keeping my campaign promise. My speech. You saw
it. Yeah, I saw it. I saw that. And it was great. But that's the thing is that, you know, when you see this obvious test, and now after the investigation, knowing that, we were right about what we were saying was happening mm-hmm. here.
And I was right about COVID, too.
Yeah, well, right. No kidding on that one.
Yeah.
But you have this obvious test and you look at, like, who passed it with flying colors and who didn't. You know, and those are the people you want to be there. The people like you and like mm-hmm. Josh Smith, those are the people you want to have on the LNC who, you know, if they see this blatant corruption, are going to stand up against it. I'm not surprised by any of this. I actually, like, privately in phone calls with Michael Heiss, I predicted mm-hmm. pretty much all of this. I was like, look, dude, if we're going to do this the way we're planning on doing this, well, here's what's going to happen. It's going to work. It's going to get a lot of people excited. It's going to bring them in, and they're going to use everything. And they will, you know, like, stop at nothing to try to keep us from capturing this party. And I know, you know, I know because I have my sources. I know about a lot of the corruption that's gone on in the Libertarian Party for years now, and the outrageously corrupt things that happened under Sarwak's regime.
And I called that out.
Yeah, particularly leading up to the 2020 presidential election.
Sarwak's hands is behind us. Sarwak promised me. He threatened everyone who stood against him. And Phillips and them know that. That's what makes it even more corrupt. But he promised he was going to bring me down. And he was gloating on Twitter that he accomplished it. But here's the thing. I still haven't been noted, motherfucker. You got noted.
Well, that's also, like, kind of the difference.
I'm sorry. Know. Am I allowed to, like, just...
Oh, yeah.
You can beep it. You can beep it.
No, I love it.
I'm just saying. Go right ahead, like that clip that said, Gary Johnson wants to kill people for fucking cakes. That was great at Porkfest. But you said it at Porkfest. When you said I was not in agreement with the takeover language, you said she opposed it. And look what they did to her. Now look what.
Well, but
Phillips,
it is.
Aarons, all of you, I hope you're splitting the 30 pieces of silver and you choke on it.
Well, but that's right. I mean, this is what happens. And this is how this stuff kind of backfires, is that they push people to be more radicalized in opposition to them. And understandably
I'm on the takeover train.
Yeah.
And listen, well, if I don't win my appeal for the period of time, let's assume I win at Reno, which I might not, I'm joining the Mises caucus because I'm not on the LNC mm-hmm. once the appeal. Listen, I've only not joined caucuses because of my position. But if I don't have that position, you might not want me, but that's where I'm going, because the radical caucus is completely useless. They wouldn't even issue a statement on this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's shameful.
It's gross.
Yeah.
You know, they're given all these excuses. I'm like, you're useless. And that's a caucus I helped grow. Mm. So it's completely painful. But the due process. So you got the NAP redefinition. But they completely denied me due process. Libertarians.
Right.
And they all voted for it.
Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things that I got to say, like after I told Heiss after Pennsylvania, where people don't know in the Libertarian Party in Pennsylvania, they basically invoked this bylaw, which is always waived. But they didn't waive it this time, not allowing the new members to vote. And we had a lot of new members who had joined up in Pennsylvania and pretty clearly had the numbers if the new members had been.
Yeah.
But they used it, and so they kept us from taking over that state party. But I just kind of looked at it where I was like, well, hey, yeah, you got outmaneuvered on that one. You know what I mean? If the rule is there, we got to assume they could use it. They have a right to use it. And we should have gotten the people signed up earlier, and we didn't. And that's that. But I leave that going like, well, look, I'm pretty heartened, because it's almost like they're conceding. Like, look, the future is yours, but we can hold it off for one more year. So we'll, and what a lot of people, and I know the Mises Caucus, like rank and file members, like I know them. These are my people. Mm-hmm. And so are all libertarians, by the way. But these are, you know, the people I know
very well.
It's
your inner family.
But I know them, and people have this attitude where they're like, well, if we can just hold them off for one more year, they'll all get bored and leave. And you're like, dude, you don't know these people. If you hold it, we will be back next year and the year after that and the year after that. Like, this is like our life's work. We're not going anywhere. So this is, the future is in this direction, whether or not you guys like it or not. If you guys were smarter, you'd embrace that now. So, you know what I mean? Like, you, anyway. But,
and yeah, if Angela wins, and I'm completely on the Angela train, because listen, I usually don't endorse people. This year is just too different. The corruption, you know, the time for caution and the, I'm endorsing this time. I'm completely on the Angela McCardle train.
And for how important the moment is right now to have a real libertarian party. I mean, like, it's just like the nation is on the verge of collapse. This isn't a game. Like, we really need to get our act together if we want to project this great philosophy out to the rest of the country. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. And they're also the home of the company who supports our network and our brand of comedy and free speech more than any other company. So please go support them. Look, if you've never heard of Kratom before, just ignore this ad. Not talking to you. Don't listen to this and then go try Kratom. But if you're currently a fan of Kratom, then go celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. YoKratom is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly at wholesale prices. It's quality Kratom. I've heard nothing but great feedback from the fans. Last time, if you're currently a fan of Kratom, go to YoKratom.com and get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show. And so, you know, but the thing that I take away from this, why I was heartened by the Pennsylvania situation and why I'm heartened by this situation, is it's like, look, as we're going around and this movement to like turn, whatever you want to call it, the takeover or whatever, to turn the Libertarian Party into a real force for liberty, while we're having all of these victories, you know, like all throughout the country. And I mean, look, in terms of like the amount of state affiliates that are dominated by the Mises Caucus or Mises Caucus allies, in terms of the Mises Caucus numbers, in terms of our fundraising, I mean, everything is just shooting up through the roof. And that's how we win. When we win, it's because we win over the people. We get enthusiastic, energized base of people who we convince that this is something worth fighting for. When they win, it's because they use these underhanded parliamentary tricks from a few people in powerful positions. That's the only way they win. And so, you know, these people can object to my language with the takeover or this, oh, they're talking about purging people or a hostile takeover. But everyone knows what I always meant by that. It was I was never proposing that I'm going to get in and secretly rewrite some bylaws. I don't even know what a bylaw is. That's my thing was always that I will persuade people better than you will. I will persuade people to join, and I will persuade people to get active. That's like, so, you know, it's like, yeah, you're in this position where they do the shady stuff. They get this one guy on the plane. They kind of use all these shady tricks and they vote you to be suspended. But you're getting like hundreds and hundreds of emails and support. Like, you have support from the real people. Their guys they're losing state, you know, elections to none of the above. Like, the movement is with us. And this is like why, you know, like I was saying the other day when some Cato guy was telling me I'm not a real libertarian. And it's like, well, look, man, you could say that like you have this position in Cato, so you get to decide who a real libertarian is.
I'm beginning to decide the bar is pretty low for positions in Cato.
Well, I'm just saying, but if we're talking about the liberty movement, then no, dude, you don't get to decide. Like I have the people. That's what I have on my side, and I'll take that. That's what I want. I don't care about some status position. You know, it's funny to see because, like, I go, you know, when I go to, like, these libertarian events, you know, I go to Pork Fest or Freedom Fest or, like, any of these things, or just a lot of my shows where it's a lot of my people come out. It's like, dude, like, I'm like, I mean, I remember I was at Freedom Fest. Like, I can't walk through the building without being stopped every 3 seconds and like people
it's forming weird around
me.
Yeah.
And then you'll see like, you know, Sarwak or whoever like walk by on the side and like mean mug me. But it's like, dude, no one's interested in like talking to you guys. No one wants your position on what happened here. And so there is something that I think is like, look, we're in the process. There are some growing pains here, but I think we're building this party into something really special. And I did take, you know, your, like there was some merit to the points that you made when you were like, look, when you say you're going to take over this party, oh, there's a lot of really good people who have been here in this party. And to them, that kind of sounds like, you know, well, what are you saying? Like, you're going to come in here and take over what I did. Like, so there's an argument to that. You know what I mean? But there's also an argument on the other side, which is like, I mean, what is it? We all know. So I remember, I'll just say this quickly. Like, I remember there's some woke, like left libertarian types who were arguing that, that AOC and the squad are more libertarian than Rand Paul and Thomas Massey, which is just so ridiculous on its face. But they're sitting there and they're like, well, they're better on this issue, and they're better on that issue, whatever. And you're like, okay, yeah, but here's the bottom line, right? And this is why everyone knows Thomas Massey. If Thomas Massey and Rand Paul had complete control of the government tomorrow, the government would be much, much smaller than it is right now. And if AOC and the squad had control, it'd be much, much bigger.
It'd be Venezuela.
Right. So what? So my point is just like, if you understand, if the Mises caucus got what it wanted, right, and we get our people that we like into these positions, if we get what we want, the takeover, whatever you want to call it, what does that look like? That looks like the Liberty Movement joining the Libertarian Party, it being a force for real principles, like, you know, a non-interventionist foreign policy, fiscal sanity, solid monetary policy, abolishing the police state, abolishing the war on drugs. Like, this is what it looks like. If these guys on the LNC get their way, what the party looks like is what the party is.
Yeah.
And so it's like, come on, man. Like, would even you people who are in the party who have been working so hard all these years, which one of those sounds cooler? Like, doesn't one of those sound a little bit better than the other one? And look, all the credit in the world, it's like, we couldn't have done it if so many people hadn't put in all this great work to getting the party where it is now.
At the meeting, Dustin Nana, who was, you know, right next to me when all these whiners go, we can't do anything because the secretary's mean. And he's like, are you kidding me? I did all this stuff. If you can't do something, it's on you. It's not because the secretary is mean to you. I don't know what's wrong with these people. They can't just change the channel. Yeah. I don't like what they post. I've blocked them. Francis Wendt was on a YouTube stream that I didn't care for. I didn't continue to watch it. Yeah. I didn't cry and, you know, oh my God. You know,
yeah, well, it's just weakness.
I put on my Facebook wall something to the effect of, and I absolutely mean it, and a lot of people, you know, would be like, I'm tired of, like, the alleged men in this party that are just flat-chested girls that have no balls and they have male names. I am tired of it. There are cowards in this party. Where are the fucking men that have courage?
No.
Where are they?
They're over in the
soy level is way too fucking high. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
No, there's something to that. I mean, there's real like studies out there that show that testosterone levels are way down, sperm counts are way down.
Men?
Something's
where
happening
are
to the
men?
There's something about that in the broader society as well. I mean, it's like you ask yourself that throughout all the lockdowns and stuff. Like, where are the men? And that's
where are the men?
I see some of these like really courageous women who are standing up, you know, like there was that woman in Texas who went to jail for the night because she wouldn't close her salon and like all these people. Yeah. And it starts to go like,
well, you know,
that's
Old
great.
Testament
it's great to see courageous
Deborah.
Women. Yeah.
You know, Old Testament with Deborah. And she's like, God's going to deliver victory into the hands of a woman and shame all you fuckers. And then was a jail with the stake, the tent peg, the tent peg in the head. Oh, my God. We're now going inside baseball.
But there's some real wisdom in that. There's some real wisdom in that old book. There's the whole dynamic. It's like what I find very interesting about all of this too, is that there's been this effect. So I'm doing a Reed Coverdale show in a couple days, and we were going to do an episode with Jeremy Todd as well about like kind of the whole Liberty Unity thing that we started for a little bit, which was really on the heels of that conversation with you.
They don't want it.
Well, it's funny because what's kind of happened is that I did say, okay, and there are people out there who say like, oh, there's this contradiction, but to me, there was never a contradiction distinction between the takeover and unity. It was always kind of like, yeah, I want to, like, I want to have this takeover of the party. It's going to be a persuasion takeover. And to do that, you have to unify with a lot of different people. Like, all good libertarians should unify, and we should all do this together. But so many of these people, it's like, once they made a move toward that, being like, okay, yeah, I'm willing to work with everyone, it's almost then you see who's who. And you're like, oh, wow, like that's, there are actually people like furious just that you're talking about working with other people. And I think New Hampshire was really an event that obviously on every level backfired on them. And I think that this thing with suspending you, although they did achieve that so far, we'll
through
see
trickery. I like the word better than cheating. Through trickery.
Yes,
how
I think that's more accurate.
That's a much better word.
Yeah. But even though they achieved that, it's like, oh my God. I was saying in the live chat, watching the video the other day, and there's a whole bunch of my, you know, haters in there. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, are you guys, like, even if you guys hate us, are you not wise enough to see how much this is going to play into our hands? Here you're taking one of the most popular figures in the Libertarian Party and railroading her. What message? For the crime of exposing corruption. Oh, and
not
saying,
doing
and dropping
it.
F-bombs or something, you know, like, so it's like, don't you see how so many of the members are going to see this? Don't you see this is just going to become our battle cry now? Like, it's, and it almost in a way, I don't want to warn them because I'm like, go here, fall right into this like trap. But it's a self goal. It's like it's a self-inflicted wound, own goal, whatever. And they, you know, so it's like, they just don't see it, but it's like, yeah, this is just all it does every time. And it shows you in a weird way that New Hampshire move almost did more to achieve libertarian unity than anything else that we were talking about. Because what did you have? You had the entire Mises caucus. You had Spike Cohen, Justin Amash, me, you know, Josh Smith, like all these different people who come from different factions of libertarianism, have different flavors of libertarianism, all coming together, being like, no, we are just outraged by this. And so I think that's where we're going.
I want to disagree with you on something you said a while ago, where you said, I think you were talking about Michael Malice, and y'all were joking on Joe Bishop Henchman, which was freaking hilarious. But you like called Joe Bishop Henchman's plan like really well, not well thought out and stupid, because you were just like, and what if this doesn't work? Well, I guess we're all just gonna resign. But it wasn't a stupid plan. It actually was a brilliant plan because he understood our culture. What he didn't understand is that there was a wild card of me who doesn't obey the culture. Because I'm not going to diminish Joshua was great. Stephen Nicola was great. But they made scattered comments that could be ignored. They didn't keep the full court press on the way I did. That was not anticipated, this constant pressure that I kept on them. So if I were not there, this is what would have happened. A, the interviews wouldn't have happened. So they would suspect something, but meh. 3 days max, institutional inertia would have set in, and they all would have thrown up their hands and said, let New Hampshire handle it. Possession is 9/10 of the law. She had the documents. It would have went to them, but for me. This is a fact and why they're after me. And while Joshua did speak out against it, he was busy with his family, understandably. So he made, you know, comments here and there. They could ignore those.
Right,
I was relentless.
It also, just by the nature of it, it was more powerful coming from you than from Josh, because he's a member of the Mises Caucus. Yeah. And so, and in the same sense that it was more powerful for Spike Cohen and Justin Amash to stand up to it than it was for me, because I'm a member. So it's like, obviously I'm going to be on that side. So it was more powerful.
But they
powerful
have
coming
other
from
roles.
You.
So they made one statement. That could be ignored because that was 10 tweets ago. You gotta understand, like when I say people go, oh, Reno, we're gonna get you back in. I go, do you realize Reno is 20 scandals from now?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because that's just how it is. People will forget. But it's, and my campaign team got together, and really, because I hate all these buzzwords that everyone who's running, principled and blah, 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 blah. It's like the same words every time. So I have a one word theme for my campaign, and I think everyone will agree, like me or hate me, that it sums me up. And we're just using one theme word, relentless.
I love it. There you go. Hey,
because I don't think anyone's ever done that.
So before we wrap this up, there was one thing that I wanted to that I forgot to mention earlier. So I saw a couple people who critique of your defense was that this has nothing to do with New Hampshire. This isn't about New Hampshire. This is about all these other things and blah, blah, blah.
Bull which I thought fucking
I found to be so absurd on its face, especially when one of the
allegations
was that you were responsible for causing Joe Bishop Henchman to resign.
Yeah, about blaming enough. It's like,
so how does that have nothing to do with New
Hampshire?
That's
a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, really. But after this investigation, I just couldn't even believe they had the gall to keep that on there. That's, oh yes, you caused a guy
who's
clearly corrupt.
And Aaron tried to say it wasn't about that. When you voted yes, you didn't even, listen, those people voted yes, if they really, I hate to tell them strategy, but it's kind of over. If they really wanted me off, if they felt this big, huge bundle of charges, there were a few of them that had merit, they could have moved to amend the charges, dropped all the other ones, and just went on these. But they didn't. So I'm sorry, you guys shit in your own nest. Yeah. Now you got to lay your eggs in it, because you could have amended it to the things you only thought were valid. And you didn't. Gross. So you all accepted the redefinition of the NAP. You all accepted that I am removed for causing the resignation of Joe Bishop Henchman. You put your name on that. You 11, Whitney Bill, you, Aaron Adams, John Phillips, TJ Ferreira. I'm going to forget some names. Tim Hagen. Who else? Sexton, little slime ball. Valerie Sarwark, Laura Epke. Who are we missing? I need three more. There's so many of them, like it's a whole flock of them. But at least those. I can name you right there. I know I'm missing somebody. Crap. Who am I missing? This is crazy to me.
I'm not going
to. Whatever.
You got all
those
the ones
nine
I know.
Are good. Yeah, those nine are good. You all. Oh, fuck. Richard fucking Longstreth. You all put your names on that. You could have amended it.
Yeah.
Own your shit.
I said many times before, the Libertarian Party, and I say this from a place of love, but if they
I love
wanna,
the party.
Yeah, well,
but I it's hate like, the LNC.
Well, yeah, understandably, particularly today.
Yeah, but, except for the good, but there's good guys.
Oh, yeah, Rich Bowen, of course.
Dustin Nanaconda is he's the GOAT, man.
Yeah.
He's kind of like unpraised a lot. The GOAT.
Well, look, I mean, here's the thing, right? And this is like a dose of hard truth. And I tried to talk about this in the speech I gave in Pittsburgh, but it's like, and I did it first by praising the party and saying like, look, man, like this is the party of Ron Paul and Harry Brown. Like this is like, it should be an honor for all of us to be here. And not just like the men at the top. I mean, this is also a party of people who go out and get signatures in the pouring rain because they just care that much about making someone a little bit freer. You know, like they will sit out outside all day in the freezing rain to collect some signatures so like one less person goes to jail over some gun possession charge or something, you know, like really noble people, and it's great. But the sad reality is that the state of the Libertarian Party is that the Libertarian Party is unable to sell itself to libertarians. That the vast majority of libertarians reject the Libertarian Party.
And that's a if
you
shame.
Care, yeah. And if you care about the party at all or the movement, you really got to grapple with why that is. And what I always say is go ask libertarians, because there's one thing they'll do is they'll tell you. They'll tell you real quickly.
And
let me tell you, this stuff is a big part of that reason.
It's the LP is very obsessed with getting disaffected Republicans or Democrats. Why don't you try getting the libertarians first?
Well, let's start with that. Let's start with the low-hanging fruit.
And yeah, because they already agree with you on the issues. They just think you suck as an organization.
Right.
Fix the organization and get the libertarians.
That's right. And those people are worth so much because these are the true believers, the principled ones, and the ones who will go out and they'll be your evangelicals.
Evangelical.
Yes, you know, like that's those are the people. So they're so valuable, and so of course, that should be, you know, stage one. But all right, look, anyway, I appreciate you coming on and explaining all of this to me and to the people who listen to the show. And Karen Ann, you're a rock star, mm-hmm. and you got a bright future in this movement and in this party, and you got my support for whatever.
You don't know how much that means to me, Dave, because I do see some people like saying you did great, now go away, and I have to tell you that hurts more than the betrayal of these corrupt people, because these are good people, like, you know.
Yeah.
And if we use and discard people in this party, we're never going to get anywhere. That's just not my ethics. Yeah. And it just saddens me to start to see that. And I hope that doesn't become the norm. You know, put in a great board.
Look, I know for a fact the reason why I always want you in one of these positions is because I know that you will stand up to corruption if you see it. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that you do it to us, too. And I admire that. That if the Mises Caucus ever tried to pull some really corrupt, shady shit like this, mm-hmm. I know you'd stand up against us. Those are the type of people I want in there.
In the functional thing, I'm a damn good secretary. So I did my job. I revolutionized that position. And this is how I get rewarded.
Yeah, well,
but that's okay.
Up until the post-New Hampshire fallout, there was really no arguing that. Everybody acknowledged that you were mm-hmm. an excellent secretary. So, all right. That's our time for today. Thank you again, Karen Ann Harlow. Go check out Karen Ann's YouTube page. Is what is it? Pink Flame of Liberty.
Yeah, that's, and I do all LP stuff. Now I'm kind of free as a bird because I can say what I want, really. What are they going to do? Suspend me? Really, it's like, so I'll be on there talking more about this if people want the... It will get into painful detail, but you know, it's all LP related and sometimes doing makeup while I'm talking LP stuff, as you know.
I do know.
So, but yeah, I would appreciate
it. It's excellent, and I love watching it.
And the LP is really upset because I have patrons and I'm trying to build it where I could do this full time. And that was one of my crimes as well, that I'm a capitalist. Guilty.
Yeah, that's where the new term is. I swear it's like all. We'll wrap on this, but it's all I said for a while. It's all like everything positive they try to spin into a negative mm-hmm. somehow. So it's like the accusations for me that I always get is that they'll be like, well, the Mises Caucus is just a Dave Smith cult. It's all hero worship. Which, by the way, if the Mises Caucus is a cult, it's the most unruly cult I've ever heard of. I mean, I get people disagreeing with me every single day in the caucus. But in other words, you're like, but so what do you really mean by that? Just like that they respect me, so I have respect. And they'll be like, well, you're a grifter. And you'll be like, do you mean I'm successful? Like, it's almost like everything you're just you're grifting.
It means like people that says grifter.
So people value your opinion and want to pay you for the service of sharing it with them. Tell me from the libertarian perspective, what is bad about that?
I know. See, it's really, really gross. And you want to know, I'm so sorry. I have to say, they're going to write a policy to prohibit you or you, the broad you, from doing that. And you want to know why I think that's coming. Actually, one of the persons who wants to do that is Ken Mulman. He has no bad motives. He's coming from a good place. But some of the others, what I suspect, is I think they saw when Angela McArdle started her GoFundMe and said, if I'm going to be chair, I need to do this full time or I can't do it. So if they right now prohibit that kind of monetization, they're trying to torpedo Angela McArdle's run for chair. That is the kind of shady shit. That's what they're thinking of behind the scenes. They don't care about my, you know, believe me, I don't make enough to live on. I'm grateful for all of my patrons, and one day I would hope to make it a living, but come on.
Right.
They're looking at, if you're not affluent lawyer, you can't be in the chair position because you have to do it full time. And now Angela's raising money. What if it's in the policy manual when she gets elected that she can't do that?
Yeah, no, that's something to keep our eye on for sure. All right. Well, thanks again, Karen Ann.
Thanks
to everybody for tuning in. Catch you next time. Peace.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.